Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. This is Tim the Overseer. Hopefully everyone is doing well. Hopefully everyone is being blessed. I'm back from my travels within the state of Texas, and so it's a blessing to be here. It's a blessing to be alive. It's a blessing to have good health and strength. Amen. We are so grateful for life itself, especially during these days and times. Amen. We see as time progresses that we're hearing so many different things just through the news and over the airways and just a lot of things that are just happening in this world. But first and foremost, I want to say to our fathers, happy Father's Day, as we did to the mothers. We wish them happy Mother's Day. We want to wish the fellows a happy Father's Day. Amen. So it's a blessing to be a father. It's a blessing. It's a gift. I know a lot of times people don't. They don't acknowledge that. It's a gift to be able to bear children. There are some men men and women actually that cannot have children, men that cannot make children, women that cannot bear children. So it is a gift. It is a privilege to be a parent. It is a privilege to be a mother and a father. So I'm grateful for that. We know that there are other ways to become mothers and fathers. We know that people adopt. We know that people sometimes take fatherhood or fathership over family members or people, good friends, people they've known. So there's all kind of ways to be parents. Amen. You don't have to necessarily give birth. They don't necessarily have to be your seed or your bloodline. But sometimes you just caring for people and raising people. You've been a father, so or a mother. So again, it is a blessing to be in this position. We thank our Father in heaven for the many blessings that He's given to us, the people of this earth. Amen. We thank Him. We so much. Amen, long for His return. I don't know about you, but I think about that more and more every day, just looking at the world, just looking at the situation of things that sometimes I just, like the Bible says, Lord, come quickly. Amen. The Bible says that over one of the letters that Paul wrote. In fact, Paul said in one of his letters, he said, Lord, come quickly. You can actually look that up. Amen. One day I'll try to find that scripture. Amen. But that's just how I'm feeling at this day and time. Amen. It's just how I feel according to the things that I see all the time. And just the world doesn't really see that the darkness is actually closing in around us. Amen. And as that darkness begins to close in around us, little do most people know that the church is getting ready to be out of here. And the funny thing about it is that because people think because things are quote unquote back to normal, which I don't see that. I'm seeing a lot of things that's coming down the pipeline that's going to change our lives for as long as this planet is under Satan's rule. It's going to really change. It's only going to get worse. You know, a lot of people, we like to think that it's going to get better, but those of us that are walking in the spirit, those of us that are walking by the word, we see something else. Amen. We see the evils that are brewing. You know, you have to keep your eyes open, and you have to be listening for certain things, and you can actually see the things that are going on in the world. Amen. One thing that I'm beginning to notice more and more every day is how the rich, the haves and have not. We're not going to even say the rich or the poor. We're going to say the haves and the have not, because Christ said the poor you should always have with you. But what we're beginning to notice is that the haves and the have not. I remember I told a friend many years ago that this was going to happen. I said, you know what? We're going to actually go back to the way it was in the beginning, meaning that there was just the rich and the poor. Either you had it or you don't. Either you have it or you have not. And the world is definitely slowly going in that direction. I also told another brother today that I think one of my biggest concerns is that Christ's return is prolonged further, because so many people believe that we are on the brink of Christ's return. We've always said that nobody knows. Nobody knows the day or the hour. Amen. I was laughing because I've seen people on YouTube talking about that they're going to predict that they know when Christ is coming back. I think that's a little funny to play with that, because Christ even said himself he doesn't even know. So I just always think when I hear certain things, how could you possibly know? Christ said he doesn't know. Now, don't get me wrong. I know some people have an idea that they believe it's going to be either next year or by 2023. Amen. Because of the certain things that have been said, Amen. And so, like I say, it's like a puzzle. You have to put some things together, amen, because the things that are happening in history that they believe that. Now, we know that we are definitely in that time because, wow, we say every 2,000 years a great event happened. We are in that next 2,000 years, so I believe that we are blessed to be born in this time. Amen. We are blessed to be born in this time because it's a possibility that we will actually get to witness the return of Christ. Man, how great would that be? That one of the greatest mysteries in the Bible, we get to live and actually witness that great mystery, which is Paul said it best. Paul said, "Behold, I show you a mystery." Amen. Paul said that over the 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Amen. One of those verses, I believe, is somewhere between verse 51 through 53. He said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." That is one of the greatest mysteries. One of the greatest mysteries that we don't know when Christ is going to return. That's one of the greatest mysteries of the New Testament and the church age. That is the greatest mystery of the church age, that we don't know when Christ is going to come back to get the church. Amen. But we know that those that are alive and remain will not prevent, amen, those that are asleep in the dust, those that are asleep in the earth, that they're going to be raised from the dead first. And then those of us who are alive and remain shall be caught up with him. So we want to teach this gospel, teach this word, because we want to get as many people saved and in and through the door before, amen, this darkness sets in, before things, before it begins to happen. We don't want no one left behind, amen. So we preach this gospel. We believe in this gospel. We believe in this word. We believe in his gift. And so what I'm going to do right now, because I'm not going to be on the air alone, again, happy Father's Day to everyone, because I just be going about my daily life. Amen. I just kind of treat certain days as another day. Amen. I think one of my greatest holidays is my birthday. In fact, I know that it is. So that's the one day that I just kind of celebrate the most out of all the days. The other days are just kind of days to me. Amen. Don't get me wrong. I'm grateful for every single day of my life. But my birthday is the holiday that I celebrate the most because, why? It's another day that I've been blessed. It was the day I was born, the blessed to be alive. I have lived year after year and blessed to see another year. So that's why I say my birthday is the greatest holiday, because I am so grateful to be alive, to be here. So the other days are just kind of like other days to me. And so I kind of like don't really put that much emphasis on all these holidays, which is good. Some of them are good to celebrate. We know that some of them are, a lot of them actually are pagan holidays that are created by man. But with that being said, we're going to go ahead and say a quick prayer. I probably will definitely only be on her hour tonight, if that long, because, again, kind of just got by me again that today is a holiday. So, amen. I know also here in the they made a federal holiday, the Juneteenth. I know here in the state of Texas, we've always celebrated Juneteenth. Nothing new to us. It'll be funny when we meet people from, like, different places. Let's say if they were from like up north, or, you know, from the West Coast or the East Coast or up north or Central America, they say, "Man, what is Juneteenth?" And we say, "Man, that's the day that we celebrate." Texas is known to be one of the last states, if not the last state, that slaves were released from slavery. And so Texas was the last state. Still a great state, still a lot of great, wonderful people, a lot of great, wonderful things happen here. This is why we have this influx of people moving here to the great state of Texas, which is crazy to us, because we begin to notice an increase in the difference in the cultures and the difference of the people that are coming here. So we're just going to say, hey, we welcome you here, but don't try to implement, you know, the way it was from wherever you came from. You are in our state. So like they say, when in Rome, do as the Rome do. We're not interested in changing to be like nobody. No one. Okay, we got a lot of people come here, and you know, you kind of feel like they want to change some things. Hey, we think Texas is great the way that it is. We're not asking nobody, you know, what's best. We like Texas the way that it is. So if you come here, please continue that Southern hospitality that we have here, being nice and cordial to people. Texas is a great state. I wouldn't want to live in any other state. After talking to people and visiting other states, I think Texas is not, in my personal opinion, the greatest state to live in. If not, it's definitely within the top 3 to 5 states in this country to live in, I believe, because it's so spacious. against Southern Hospitality. You know, just a lot of great things in Texas. But with that being said, let's go ahead and say a quick prayer. We're going to go ahead and read 1 Corinthians, amen, the 13th chapter, which is the context of love written by Paul. It's actually 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 31, the last verse in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and the entire 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, amen. So what I'm going to do, we're going to read it first, and then we're going to go ahead and get into the word. We're going to talk about some revelation today. Since I'm not going to be on here long, because I know a lot of people are probably traveling, actually, and, you know, a lot of people are gearing up to celebrate Father's Day. So, again, we definitely don't want to take up much of your time. We want you to get back to relaxing. We know a lot of people are off on the weekend. And I already know what I'm going to do. My brother asked, what am I going to be doing? I said, hey, brother, I'm just going to be enjoying my day. Okay, that's what they say is Father's Day. I'm just going to enjoy. I'm just going to sit back like I do with all my off days, just relax and be lazy. Somebody had called me up and wants to know what I was doing. I said, I'm busy being lazy. That's what I'm doing. He said, well, you ain't doing it. I said, no, you didn't hear what I said. I said, I'm busy being lazy, meaning I am doing something. I'm being busy being lazy. I'm minding my own business. I'm at my house, and I'm just enjoying the day. Okay, so I don't mind you having a little bit of my time, but do know this is my time. So, amen. With that being said, let's go ahead and read 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 31, and 2 1 Corinthians, the entire 13th chapter. It says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Amen. We thank Paul for showing us the most and the more excellent way, which is love. Amen. Now, I have to stop right there because this verse right here is amazing that it's the first verse because it caps off the entire context of love, because people who say that they are of the church, people who say that they are believers, that they believe in the Most High God, this is the one thing you need to exercise. Every single day of your life, we need to practice love. We need to love more, okay? Because the scripture says God is love. And so if you're not practicing love, if you're not exercising love, okay, just like you go to the gym or just like you practice basketball, you'll dribble or whatever it is that you may do. You may go to school to practice to be a nurse or a lawyer or a doctor, an attorney, whatever it is that you're doing. The most excellent way, the most that we should do is exercise and practice love. This is the signature of the believers. This is the signature of the people who said they're going back with Christ. This is why it says in the book of Revelation that the church of Philadelphia was found, amen, with no condemnation. Okay? There's also one other church, but I tell people I belong to the church of Philadelphia, which is the church of love, okay? Because I love each and every one of you. I want you to feel that through my voice and feel that through the system that I'm speaking through. I'm probably sounding a little funny to y'all because I've been somehow they call it a summer cold. And if you all know, that's like the worst colds to have as a summer cold. I don't know how it even happened. It happened last week. you know, my wife kind of talked me into cutting on the air. If you all know me, I don't like being cold. She cut on the air. I know summertime here in Texas gets pretty hot, but we had one of those 100-degree days, and we had to turn the AC a little lower. And because it was on so low, I think it kind of got me a little cold and a little slight sore throat, which I hadn't had a sore throat in many years. And that's not like a full-blown sore throat, but like a slight hint of soreness in my throat. I'm just like, man, what has happened? So be praying for me on that. But back to these scriptures, amen. We want you to exercise love, okay? Love is so important, man. Amen. Give me a moment. Excuse me, dealing with this weather. Amen. So love is our signature. You should walk in love, man. The world has enough ugly, acting, evil people. And the last thing we need is people who claim that they love God to be mean and ugly. Amen. So this is what Paul was saying. Paul said, covet earnestly the best gifts. In other words, desire the best gifts. But he said, yet let me show you an excellent way. Let me show you the best way to exercise these gifts. It is through love. So it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and all, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Amen. I tell people, how can you know that we're serving the right God? Well, it's easy. Okay, regardless of what man and Satan try to do to discredit the Bible and try to discredit our one and only true Heavenly Father, Yahweh, is that one thing you can't discredit, amen, this is how you can determine that we do serve the right God, is love. None of the other religions talk about love like ours. Now, you got people now I've noticed over the 20 years that I've been preaching. I've been preaching this same thing for 21 years now. I've noticed people who have tried to attach this love onto their false and fake religion. Let me tell you something. I can smell and see fake a mile away, okay? Because people who don't love are fake. They're phonies, and you can see it a mile away. See, one thing about a person that has the spiritual, true love of Yahweh in them, they're not fake. They can't be fake. They don't know what fake is. They're not phony, okay? So this is what love is all about. Amen. So you want to be authentic, okay, as a believer. Well, hey, you got to have that signature of love. Amen. Now watch what it says. It says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity suffered long and is kind. Charity envied not. Charity vaunted not itself. Is not puffed up. Do not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not our own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Charity meaning love. Amen. Amen. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we come thank you for another blessed day. We thank you for our life, our soul, our health, and our strength. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings that you bestowed upon us, your church. We thank you for blessing the believers today. We thank you for blessing our hearts and our minds, dear Heavenly Father. We just come praying, amen, that this world become, amen, better spiritually in these last and evil days, amen. We are praying for more salvation, dear Heavenly Father. We are praying for more saints to come into your kingdom before it is all said and done, Heavenly Father. Again, we bless and praise your holy name forevermore. Amen. Thank you, Heavenly Father. All right. So we've been talking about the churches. I know the last time we kind of had a conversation about the two churches that didn't have a condemnation, amen, which I believe that was the church of Smyrna and the Church of Philadelphia. They didn't have any criticism, no condemnation. Amen. But we knew that the other five churches, excuse me, out of the seven churches, did have criticism. Okay? So what we want to exercise and what we want to teach is salvation. Amen. Talking to the brothers today, amen, and one of the brothers said, the only thing you can do is ensure your pathway to heaven, and that's true. That's correct. That is so important that we are sure that where we're going to spend all eternity, because people talk about racism, people talking about the financial crisis, people talk about the health situation, just things in general. You're not going to solve racism. Racism is going to be here as long as Satan rules. Racism is stemmed out of hatred, and we know who's the father of hatred. If we know God is the God of love, Satan is the God of hate. So he implemented and ushered in racism. So as long as Satan is ruling on this world, you're not going to end or stop racism. People will be racist until Christ comes back. You're not going to stop the financial crisis. You're not going to change the situation in this world, okay? You're just not. Well, the wars, the rumors of wars, that's not going to stop until Christ comes back. When that thousand-year reign, when Christ comes back to the earth with the church, he's going to put all his enemies under his feet, okay? If you notice that, remember when he said he's going to put all his enemies under his feet? That means Lucifer and all the fallen angels will be locked away. Everybody that's evil pretty much will be either in hell or they'll be locked away, basically in hell, okay? So until that happens, you're going to have evil is going to roam this planet, okay, and continue to plague this planet until Christ judges all. Once he casts all of them into the lake of fire, hey, man, this world is going to be our Lord and Savior. It's going to be our God. You're not going to have to worry about anything. Amen. So the main important thing is that you become saved before it is too late. Don't miss this hour of salvation, okay? The book of Revelation makes this clear. There are several other books that Paul wrote, the letters of Paul. Christ makes this clear. So salvation is the way. This is going to be your only way of escape, you know, and I know I've talked about this on past shows, how people are so concerned about what's going to happen, the mark of the beast. I heard somebody else talk about the mark of the beast. People talking about just different things in general. In fact, I remember when I was out of town, I actually got to talk to a couple of young members of mine, young men. I think they're now in their 30s now. And I remember when they came to my church now, over more than 10 years ago, and just talking to them and teaching them. And one little young brother just reminiscing on some of the things that I've taught them in the past. And, you know, I was just reminding them of Revelation. This is the conversation now. You know, Christ is getting ready to return, and I want them to be ready. You know, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. Okay, if you don't know anything else, if you're listening, you must be born again. We want you to become saved. We don't want nobody lost, okay, because the hour we believe is drawing near. Amen. So, again, as I stated earlier, one of my greatest concerns is that Christ's return is prolonged. Another 10, 20, 30 years or outside of my lifespan, you know, I would love to be here when Christ returns. I would love to be a part of that number. You know, just the thought of that is amazing, just to say, hey, but the most important thing is that you get it right, because whether I'm here or not, I want to know that I'm going to spend all the rest of eternity with my Lord and Savior, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and all his holy angels, and the heavenly host, which will be the church, which will be the Old Testament saints, the New Testament saints. We want to all live and be in heaven for all eternity with joy, love, peace. You don't have to worry about stress. You don't have to worry about diseases, germs, all this stuff. People talk about germ X and do this and wear a mask. You're not going to have to worry about all this stuff, all this silliness that man has done and plagued the earth. Amen. I remember we was also talking to some brothers about some of the issues with the water now. The water is so contaminated now in the sea, and, you know, well, the sea is our main source of water. So most of the rivers and lakes, most of the water flows inland in some cases, but still a lot of our lakes and waters are just contaminated. Man has just contaminated the earth, and man's going to pay for this. They're going to pay for their wrongs that they have done. It doesn't matter what generation that they're in. Your sins, if you have not been forgiven through our Lord and Savior Christ, if you have not been forgiven for your sins, you're going to pay for your sins. Don't think that you won't. Don't think that you're going to say, oh, I've escaped in this life. No. The hell is waiting on you, for one. Hey, man, we were just talking about this today. And then after that, the lake of fire. Okay? You're not going to escape what's coming when you're an evil-hearted person. Okay? A lot of times people think that they're good just because they don't believe in God and I'm a good person. Well, good isn't good enough. And Christ makes that clear, that it's not by works that you're saved. It's by faith. So if you don't believe that he's your Lord and Savior, and if you don't begin to walk in the Spirit, amen, then you are a lost soul. And hell and the lake of fire is waiting on you. You will make hell your temporary home, and then the lake of fire will become your permanent home for all eternity. Who in their right mind will want that? You know, why would you play with that? Why would you have doubts that that the lake of fire and hell is real? You know, people don't have a problem with saying or believing that there's some type of God, or they're acknowledging the devil. Well, we acknowledge good and evil. So we have to also acknowledge that there's a source to the good and evil. So in other words, if someone shoots somebody, that evil that just took place is the source of something. It's the source of an individual that had a gun. So all things have some type of source. So if evil is real, it has to have some type of origin. It has to have some type of source, okay? Just like we say a good thing is going on, there's a source of that, which is our Heavenly Father, which is our Father in heaven. So again, amen, we're going to move on and probably take a look at some scriptures, amen, see what we got here. I know we talked about a little bit, we touched a little bit on the seven churches. I think I want to kind of deal with today, amen, the return of Christ, because that has just been so heavy on my heart for the past month. It's actually been heavy on my heart since I've been teaching you guys Revelation for more than a year. Amen. But I think it's just been even more so on my heart. I know that in the past recent years, the thought of Christ coming back, let's say as far back as 4 years ago, I really didn't fathom Christ coming back this soon. I say, well, maybe my children or grandchildren, more likely, well, the closest it may be to me is my children, meaning that I'll probably be gone on, my children and possibly grandchildren will get to witness the return of Christ. But as we move on in this world and just look at the signs of the times, we begin to see that, no, it's a huge possibility that Christ is on his way back a lot sooner. Amen. So we just want everyone to put that in their mind and just to just think about Christ's return. What are you feeling? How beautiful that's going to be for us, the church. Amen. So I'm going to go ahead and move on. Amen. From that, let's see what we can take a look at. So I want to look at Revelation, the fourth chapter. Now, I'm not skipping anything. This is just what I feel today. Today's going to be a short show because, again, I understand it is Father's Day. I know there's probably going to have some things going to happen tomorrow to where that's going to interrupt my relaxation. I know the wife may want to go do something. That's fine. Amen. But in the meantime, I know that everyone's preparing for that great day. Amen. We know that Mother's Day was great. We know these days are great days, Mother's Day and Father's Day. It's a blessing to have your parents. It really is. If you have your parents, you're blessed. Know that you're blessed and fortunate. Some of us parents have passed on. Both my mother and father have now passed on, father and mother. But it is good. You know, it's good to have had that experience. I've been blessed to have both my parents in my life. Even though my mother left early, a lot sooner than what I, you know, than I would like to have happened. But it's okay. Amen. God is still good. He's still in the blessing business. So for those of you that are like me, that are without parents, still happy Mother and Father's Day to you. Happy Father's Day. And maybe you could be the best mother and father, amen, that you could be. Amen. So that being said, I want to touch on Revelation, the fourth chapter. I'm just going to go through a few scriptures. Amen. Not going to be long. I think we got about 30 minutes left. Amen. Unless I'm not going to be on the show all day, I may cut even a little shorter. But let's go ahead and see what Revelation, the fourth chapter, verse 1 says. This is John writing. John said, after this I looked, amen, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Amen. So notice that John talks about a door being opened in heaven. Amen. So we're going to have to find out what those references mean, because I know the scripture says, it says that I will open up the windows of heaven, amen, and pour you out a blessing. Amen. So we know that the window means that it comes out of heaven, but the door means that it goes into heaven. Amen. So we thank the Most High for this scripture and this spiritual reference. So a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. That's how we know that this is a reference to what? John going into heaven. Because why? We see that after it said he referenced the door that he told him to come up hither. And watch what it says. He said, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Amen. So this is also what we believe is the scripture that references the church is actually going to go be called up to heaven. Amen. We know some say rapture. I like to say called up. To each his own. Okay? So this scripture here, verse 1 of Revelation, the 4th chapter, is a reference to the church going into heaven. Kind of shocks me when I hear people say, oh, that's not what that means. You know, you got people who are naysayers to the pre-trib, meaning that the church is going to be out of here during the time of the tribulation. It just makes me wonder, you know, do they want to be here during the great tribulation? I don't want to be here. I don't see why anybody in their right mind that's aware of this, especially they're calling themselves a believer, would want to be here. It's going to be, Daniel said, and Christ says, it's going to be the most horrible event, the most horrible time to be on this planet. And both Daniel and Christ said that there will never, ever be a time like it. That tells me that there's going to be some things that's going to happen on this planet. Now, you look at all the mysteries just by looking at, you know, the things that they have found on this earth. There's going to be some things that's going to be some unheard of things, some unseen things at any point in history that we've not ever witnessed or anyone has ever witnessed that's going to take place during that seven-year period. And my gosh, the scripture says, Christ said it best. He said that these days must be shortened, lest any flesh will be saved. That's how tough it's going to be. It's going to be so horrible, such a trying time. And we know that it talks about that in Revelation 3, chapter verse 10, how the earth is going to be tried. It says, in all the world to try them that which dwell upon the earth. My goodness, man, it's going to be a time to where there's not going to be enough food for a full-grown man to eat. Can you imagine if someone has a baby during this time? And Christ even talked about that. Can you imagine how difficult it's going to be just to feed them? So you know how people, and I'm just going to say this, especially in the USA, in certain first so-called, quote-unquote, first world countries, people eat good. People are used to eating three meals a day. Man, you're going to be able to get in, barely, hardly get in one meal a day as a full-grown adult. So can you imagine if it's you and a wife and y'all wasn't saved and y'all left her? You're basically going to be fighting over food, just enough for one person. You're fighting over food. People who go to work every day and make decent money don't fight over food. Why? Because I have my dish, you have your dish. So we're fighting is just because I don't want to share my food with you. Go in the kitchen and get you some. Go in the refrigerator and get you something to eat. Or go to the store, or go to a place, a restaurant, or a fast food place, and get you something to eat. These luxuries will definitely be gone. They will not be here, okay? This is a trying time. The church will not be here. We will be in Exodus out of here. I know that we've talked about this several times. I think I heard another minister mention something to that effect that, how the church is going to be Exodus and how people are looking for Exodus. This is going to be different from the Exodus of when Moses and the children of Israel left Israel. This is going to be different, quite different, okay? Quite different. This here is going to be us being taken away from this planet. We're going to go to heaven, okay? So we want you to be ready for the return of Christ. Very important, okay? So, again, it amazes me how there are people that are talking about there's no such thing as the gathering together of the church. There's no such thing as the rapture. Well, we just saw that Paul talked about the mystery. Paul said we should not all sleep, but we should all be what? Changed in the twinkling of an eye. when they call on to that scripture, they said, wait a minute, what was Paul talking about when he said we shall all be changed in a twinkling of an eye? In other words, at the blink of an eye, you're going to be gone. Christ also talks about these things, okay? How, you know, where one person will be there and then all of a sudden they're no longer here, okay? So, again, we want to take into consideration, where do you stand within the church? Because this message is primarily to the church. If you're on the fence and you're an unbeliever, this message is to you if you're listening. But I'm mainly talking to the church. We know that we are in the Laodicean church, which is the last church. This is the last of the church age, okay? The church is enjoying the spotlight. Let's say it like that. More than any other age of the church throughout this 2,000-year period, the church is celebrated. It's kind of hip to be in the church. Now, I remember, man, when I was a little growing up, it wasn't hip to be in the church. People used to talk about you, clown on you because you was a church. I told you about a story a while back how they used to call me Christian when I was a kid. Like, my name is not Christian, it's Tim. But, you know, they would tease me because they knew that me and my dad used to always go to church. Every time you see me, there we go. We get in the church, get in the car, we go to church, which is a blessing, by the way. I'm so grateful for my dad, my mom, and those that came before me that laid the foundation of my spiritual DNA, the spiritual foundation of my life. I am so grateful for them, and I love them so much, and I cannot wait to see them once again, okay? Can't wait to see them because, again, they have done great things, amen, and laying this out. You know, doing the best that they can for their children, for their family, to teach salvation, to teach love, to teach the Bible. Amen. So with that being said, amen, I'm grateful to share this spiritual eternal gift or this gift of eternal life with you. I ask that you become saved. Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. All you have to do is confess with your mouth and believe with your heart. The Bible says that thou shalt be saved. We want as many people to get into the kingdom of heaven before it is too late. Amen. We want you saved. We want you there. We don't want you to go through the pain and suffering. There's so many people that's talking nonsense, talking about they worship the devil, they worship Satan. They are clowning. They have no clue what's coming. They have no clue of what hell contains and what the lake of fire is going to be. So fierce and unbearable. I told you what Enoch said when him and the angel visited these realms. They call them realms. And when he went to this realm, which was where hell and the lake of fire was, you know, and the angel told him this is going to be the place after judgment, that those souls are going to be contained. They're going to be here for all eternity. And then, you know, Enoch told the angel to take me away from this place. It was so sad to Enoch. Because he knew what was coming. It was just so sad for him. He's like, man, all these souls are going to come here for all eternity? Yes. For all eternity, those souls are going to suffer for their lives on earth. You think that people who are whatever they are, the people who are behind the scenes controlling sex trafficking, kidnapping, murdering, slavery, enslaved people throughout the history of man and have not ever repented and just going to get away with what they did just because they had money, because they had prestige, because they had power. They had the power to mistreat people, to be ugly to people. They had the power to kill and murder people, to murder children, to hurt children, women, to rape, steal, kill. And that's what Satan comes to do. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. These are many Satans on the earth that have raped. Havoc. You think these people are going to go free and not give an account for the sin and be free? My gosh. I just think about some time what people may say. To answer your question, no. They're going to have to give an account before the great white throne judgment, before Christ and his heavenly Father. They're going to give an account of their sin and what they did and the sin, the hurt, and the harm that they caused. Okay? Back to Revelation 4 and 1. John said that he heard the voice as if it was a trumpet talking with him, telling him to come up here. Okay, that's what the scripture says, come up here. Come up here. Okay? That's what Christ is going to do. When that trumpet blows, the dead in Christ, he's going to call the dead in Christ out those graves. Come up here. Same thing with us. He's going to tell, hey, come up here. Come on. And your soul is going to obey. And you're going to get a new body. And your soul is going to be there. And that's going to be so powerful. That's going to be so beautiful. Man, it's going to be an awesome day. Hopefully, I get to live and see the return of Christ. Now, if I don't, it's going to be okay because I still believe it because I know that I will be one of the first, amen, to be resurrected. Amen. You know, watch what John say in verse 2. He says, and immediately I was in the spirit. Golly. Don't that sound so much about what Paul said? When Paul said that we shall be changed in a twinkling of an eye. That is so amazing. He says immediately in a twinkling. Don't that sound exactly the same? In other words, in an instant, they was what? In the spirit. We will be in the spirit. John was in the spirit. John was no longer in his earthly, stricken, fleshly body. I will no longer be in this body that gets sick, that starts to get ill, disease, die, any type of what they call it. It's not chronic, is it? It's whenever you get sick or some type of illness. Like maybe it's a chronic illness. The one that you cannot come back from, like if you was to somehow get something about to die, let's say like cancer. We know cancer is a very popular disease or something like that, to where they say, okay, if you catch cancer, and the doctor will say, well, you got 3 to 6 months to live, and sometimes people pass away sooner. Well, see, those type of things will no longer have power over you. And that's why Christ said what he said over in Revelation, the first chapter, when John, he says, fear not, I'm the first and the last. He says, I have the keys to what? Hell and death. Christ has the keys to hell and death. So whatever you may die from no longer has power from, whether it be cancer or car wreck or something tragic. It no longer has power over you. Can you imagine how horrible it is, the people that have lost their lives on this earth due to something tragic, or whether it was sickness or illness, or if they just died in their sleep? That was it. When they left this world, that was their last thought, was all they had. That was it. There was no more thoughts of what was going on instantly. When you die, you don't know what happens the next second or the next minute after you die. You have left this world. You have closed your eyes in this life, and death has set in. And now death rules. If you are a believer, death temporarily rules over you. If you're an unbeliever, death rules over you and takes you to hell. That's why over in Revelation, the 6th chapter, when John said he saw the rider that was on a pale horse, which we referenced that to be death. He said, and then hell followed right behind him. That means that if you are an unbeliever, and that's why we see it in Revelation 6th chapter, because we know that after the church is gone, that the reason that John made that statement, because there were no believers on the earth, and everyone that during the time of the Great Tribulation takes place, as soon as the church is going, the Great Tribulation will start. The clock starts ticking for that 7 years. And we know that at that time, at any point in time after the Great Tribulation starts, if you die, you're subject to hell and the lake of fire, because there are no believers at that time on the earth. That's how we know that the church is going. So you have to look at the language. That's why I say when people start saying things like, oh, no, we're going to be here to go through the tribulation, I'm like, no, we're not. You may be here, but I won't be here. The people talking like that are unbelievers. They don't believe in the Bible. They don't believe in the Word. There are a lot of people out there that use the Bible as a quote-unquote teachings, which is false teachings, actually. They're false teachers. What they're doing, they're using the Bible as a way to make money. They're using the Bible as a tool to get whatever they want. There's a lot of people doing that. Okay, they're not teaching the rightfully divided Word. So, again, you think about this when we talk about being immediately in the spirit. What did John say? It says, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Who is this one that sat on the throne? We But you better know it. It's Yahweh. It's God Almighty himself. Amen. But we also know that who sits on the throne with him? Right next to him, his son, Christ. He sits on the right hand of God. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Now, to reference this more information about this, you have to go over to Ezekiel, the first chapter, and read Ezekiel, the first chapter. In particular, Ezekiel 1 and 28, verse 28, kind of gives you this same exact reference to who this is, okay? This was who? This was God Almighty himself, Yahweh, the Heavenly Father. And this is what John is doing. He's giving a similar account that Ezekiel gave when he saw the one that sat on the throne with the rainbow above his head. Now, we know the ones that like to make a mockery of the rainbow, right? Now, they're flying the rainbow colors as their flag. Well, that's a mockery from the devil because we know that the rainbow colors are great. They're good. They're awesome. Man is taking the rainbow colors to mean something bad. Or something, well, let's just put it like this, to meaning something to do with gay pride. It has absolutely nothing to do with that. That's a mockery of Satan to God. But we know that the rainbow was something that God created. Amen. After it rained, he said that I will put this bow in the sky to basically make a covenant, a promise to man that I will not ever flood the earth. So the first time he destroyed the earth, it was with what? Water. The second time he comes back, he's going to destroy the earth with what? Fire. So you definitely want to be ready when Christ comes. People like to call him Jesus. I don't call him Jesus. I call him Yahshua. But that's fine. Again, to each his own. So when he come back, family, oh, my gosh, man, unbelievable. Unbelievable. And so we want to make sure that your soul is ready. Your soul is right so that when he does come back, and he returns, that you are going to heaven, okay, beyond the shadow of a doubt, okay? Amen. So look at some more scriptures. And I may jump down because I'm almost through. Give me one moment. I'm getting ready to jump down some scriptures, but I just want to show you the church. Now watch this. Verse 4 says, and round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Amen. This is believed to be the church. Amen. All glory be to the Heavenly Father. Thank God I am part of the church. Thank God I am saved and I have my salvation. I got my ticket. Amen. I'm ready to go. Amen. He said, I already got a seat waiting on you, Jackson. I got a seat. Amen. We know that he's going to give me a new name. Amen. I will no longer be known by this name. He's going to give you a new name when you get to heaven. This is so awesome. And so you think about this when it talks about the 20 seats and upon them I saw 24 elders. That's 24 elders sitting. Again, we're talking about the church. Amen. We're talking about your salvation. We're talking about, amen, eternal life. The greatest gift to man is eternal life. Amen. I had a thought there for a minute. Amen. So, with that being said, skip down because the verse 5 kind of talks about the angels, the beasts around the throne, and it talks about the Holy Spirit, which is talking about the seven spirits of God, which is the Holy Spirit. Amen. The seven spirits of God. Amen. So we see that there. But I want to skip down to verse 8, let's jump down to verse 8, amen. Verse 8 says, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, holy, holy Lord Yahweh, God Almighty, which was and is and is to come. That's such a powerful verse. I've been reading that verse since I've been saved. That one in verse 11. since I've been saying, and I tell you, man, that verse never gets old. It's so powerful how those angels were day and night. And what John, remember, John has a reference things according to our time and our life. When he said day and night, what he's basically letting you know that all day long, okay, all day, what we call 24 hours, these angels praise God, not because they're made to, not because they have to, but they choose to praise God. They know how good he is and wonderful he is. And John said these angels praise him. That's why the Bible says that we are to pray without ceasing. And so, man, I just thought that was so awesome that those angels just praise. It's like, wow, really, this is what you got to do. Because, you know, a lot of times we get so caught up in our little lives, we want to watch TV, YouTube, we want to get on social media, these social media sites, and just do us, right, do what we want to do. But we see here, according to the scripture, these angels are making the ultimate sacrifice by giving all praise and glory to the Most High. I thought that was so beautiful. Watch what verse 9 says to confirm. It says, and when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat upon the throne who liveth forever and ever. Watch what it says. 10 and 11 says, 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Amen. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Amen. I shared a story with y'all some time back. Let me share it with you again. Amen. Share this little story. Give me one moment. Pray for me as I'm dealing with this weather. Amen. I had a friend that said to me over 20 years ago, she said, Tim, I want to know my purpose. I want to know why God put me here. I told her this exact verse. I said, sister, God put you here because why? He's all powerful, for one. Excuse me. He's powerful, for one, and because he can. Amen. He put you here to serve him. That's our purpose, is to praise and serve him. That's why he put you here. Amen. Life ain't for us to go out on this thing, to where we just go and search the earth for our cause and purpose. Our cause and purpose is to serve him. That's your cause and your purpose, to give him all the glory and the praise, because he's more than worthy to be praised, just like these angels. Amen. And so as you can see, the 24 elders, as they cast their crowns, this is us. We're going to be worshiping God in heaven. Amen. I tell people, it's not going to be tedious like you think. It's not going to be like, man, I don't want to know. You're a believer, man. After all that we go through and deal with in this life, praising him all day is going to be easy. You ain't going to be sick. You're not going to be stressed, depressed, hurt, harm, or danger, no more fear. You're going to be like, Lord, thank you. I thank you. Thank you all the glory and all the praise. Amen. Amen. So I'm about to get ready to shut it down. Amen. This medicine's working on me a little bit. And so, amen. We'd like to wish once again all the fathers a happy Father's Day. Hopefully you guys will be blessed. And if you feel like being a blessing to this cause, amen, to this ministry, what I teach, I am now going to offer out my Cash App. Amen. So, you know, if you want to just be a blessing to the ministry, you feel like you've been blessed over the year that I've been preaching and teaching Revelation to you, if you feel like it's benefited you spiritually and with spiritual wisdom and knowledge, then you can be a blessing. So my Cash App is $TimOverseer. Okay, that's the tag. I think they call it a tag or something like that, Cash App tag. I'm new to this stuff. So it's $TimOverseer, and that's all lowercase letters. Again, $TimOverseer. Again, if you feel like being a blessing to this cause, this ministry, and what we teach and what we believe, amen, share it with someone, amen, our ministry and what we teach. Share salvation. That's the main important thing, that we want you to become saved. We want you to receive salvation. Salvation is for everyone. I've even told a person once upon a time, man, no matter if you sell your soul, first of all, your soul don't belong to Satan. It belongs to God. He's the one that Chris, Satan don't have anything. This is the craziest thing, that how people end up following Satan. Satan has nothing. Satan cannot create anything. He can only manipulate. That's what he's been doing since the beginning of time. He manipulated the angels in heaven. He's manipulating mankind. He's continued to manipulate us until the return of Christ, where he can manipulate or to disturb Christ anymore. He'll be able to do it no more. And so, amen, with that being said, amen, we want you to receive salvation. Remember, if you want to become saved, if you want to be blessed, remember, amen, Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. If you want to become saved today, you don't have to wait till church opens back up. I've heard so many crazy things in my life just coming up, especially as a minister and as a pastor, people telling people, yeah, wait till the church, you know, yeah, come to the church to become saved, or your certain pastor, he has to do certain things. He has to, you know, put all on you. Yeah, go for the pastor. Just so many different things that I've heard through the years, which is a shock to me. I'm just like, man, where are people getting this stuff from? There is no such thing, okay? No one, I mean, the Bible doesn't say it anywhere. If you want to become saved, say that, don't get me wrong, you must hear the preacher. You have to hear a preacher, someone preach the gospel, the rightfully divided word. But watch this. That's it. Once I've told you that all you have to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved for all eternity. You don't have to come back and go and get re-saved. Christ didn't have to keep going back to the cross. He went to the cross one time. You only need to get saved one time. Amen. So we thank the God Almighty for his grace and his mercy. I'm about to shut it down. We thank him for the many blessings that he bestowed upon us as his children. We thank him for his grace and mercy. We thank him for his, most of all, his love, man, because if it wouldn't be for God's love, he would not have shared his son with us. Amen. Ain't that something? He shared his son with us. Amen. He said, you know what? I love them so much. I don't want them to be lost. I would rather them to be here for all eternity with me. So guess what? I'm going to redeem man through my son. Because I know this is the only way that man can be redeemed. Man does not have the power, the might, the knowledge, the mindset to redeem themselves. We don't. We don't have the power. Only Yahweh does. Only he has the power. Only his son has the power. The Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, does he have the power? So again, we're so grateful for the Heavenly Father and what he has done for us as the saints. So as we get ready to dismiss, I just want to say that I love each and every one of you all. And remember, family, I am royalty and you are royalty, and we want what's best for you. If you guys are traveling during this holiday of Father's Day, be careful. Be careful about, you know, being out of certain places, being mindful, hanging out. I know I've been hearing some things since I've been gone about just some things, just some disturbing things about people losing their lives. And just people just going crazy out here. So be careful. Don't get into it with anyone. Try not to argue with people. It's not like it used to be. Don't get into no road rage with people. Ignore people. I'm learning that myself, man. Don't side-eye people. You know, you hear people say the side-eye. Be careful, man. People are cutting up. And I know here in Texas, they've been talking about passing a gun law. I don't know if it's all over or if it's just here in Texas, but they're talking about passing a law that's going to allow people to basically not even have a license. So you can basically be a felon and carry a gun. So we don't want that. But we know this is the age and time that we're living in. Again, family, be careful out here. Don't argue with people no more. You know, when people go low, just continue to go high. Look over them. You know, ignore them. Well, people start cutting up, waving their fists at you and throwing their fingers at you and talking some more in your car. I remember one time me and my brother was riding, and this lady, I guess she thought, for some reason, she kind of took it upon herself to get into a race. We weren't even racing. We were just driving, trying to get home. This woman burns past us, and as we're getting off on the little access road, she gets off of exits with us, and she's looking at me like she's talking some noise. I look at this lady, I'm like, lady, I don't know what you're saying, but I don't know if you're trying to race or whatever, but well, I'm not racing. I'm just trying to get to my destination. And I see that so much now that people want to race you and challenge you. And man, look, I remember a time where a man or a woman wouldn't do anything like that. People are just basically, I hate to say it, but it's the truth. People are just basically going out their mind. And you just stay in your right mind and do the right thing and ignore these people, man. Go on with your life. You have a life to live. You have wife and children. I'm learning to just ignore people now. People now want, and what's so crazy about it is that people are passive aggressive. They're aggressive over the internet. They're aggressive over the phone. They're aggressive in their cars. But most people, when you meet them face to face, they are not that person. They're not that tough and all that. But it's not even about that. Be safe, family. Stay safe. Don't get in nobody's face. Don't let nobody challenge you and get you out of character. I love you, family. We will be back on the air. I'll actually be back on the air tomorrow, maybe with Elder Bazaar. I don't know because I forgot. Kind of just passed by me that tomorrow's Father's Day, so I may be busy doing something. But I plan on being on tomorrow. If not, I will definitely be back on next Saturday. Remember, family, you are royalty, and I am royalty. I love you, and until the return of Christ, you all be blessed and take care, family, okay? Once again, love you guys, okay? Take care and stay safe. And, again, don't hurt nobody. And most of all, don't let nobody hurt you, okay? We just got to be careful in this world. I know I'm going all about it because I love you all, each and every one of you so much. And just be careful out here, okay? Take care and stay safe.